Hey, all you pet stylists, you found the Groom Pod. Welcome to our virtual salon. My name is Susie, and I'm your host. I'm a mobile groomer from Seattle, Washington, and anyone who knows me will tell you I love to talk, especially about my job. One of my favorite people to talk to is my friend and mentor and star of the show from Tucson, Arizona, and groomblog.blogspot.com, Miss Barbara Bird.
Good morning. Hi, Susie. Hi, groomers.
Good morning, Barbara. Hello, groomers. Welcome to episode 128 of the Groom Pod, recorded on July 16th, 2017 in Snohomish, Washington and Tucson, Arizona. Sorry about the bad audio. It gets better. Our first topic will be talking about accommodating our clients. Then our definition du jour, which is vegan shampoos and conditioners. I'm going to do a mobile moment all about shore power. And then last but not least, we'll talk about hair splinters.
So if you'd like to join the discussion, you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/group/thegroompod. Marco thinks that's a great idea. You can subscribe to The Groom Pod on Stitcher, on iTunes, on Google Play, pretty much anywhere you can get podcasts. You can find all things Groom Pod related at www.groompod.com, including our very active Amazon banner and our fantastic donation button. And remember to share it with all your grooming pals and continue to support our sponsors.
What's new this week? Brought to you by Barbara's Shopping Site. Shop for specialty grooming items at www.shop.beaver.biz. Shop with a groomer. It's good karma. Barbara, what is new with you this week?
Oh, I had a really interesting thing. Well, I had a lovely thing happen at the shop this week. And by the way, I want to report that I've been using the Panacare CBD oil ointment from Show Season on my hands for my trigger finger. And even though I had some hand discomfort and pain, and I felt a couple of times that my hands were going to clutch, I had no episodes of triggering.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and so I'm just really committed to using this stuff twice a day on my hands, and it's kind of a subtle. It's not like everything goes away and it's all better now, but not, I mean, week before, I was having anywhere from 7 to 20 episodes of trigger finger per day, so this was 3 days without one, so that's really good.
At what point did you notice you didn't have an episode? Like, was it halfway through the first day? Was it a day and a half in?
No, I didn't really put it all together until after 2 days. Then I said, wow.
But that's cool.
You know, yeah, this is good. So, I said, you know what? I think this stuff is helping. So, to be continued, we'll find out. Hey, this is what happened. One of my past customers whose little special needs be shown died about a year ago. She came in the front door. We're grooming away, and here she comes. And I thought, oh, good. She's got a new dog, you know. And we had just said how much we miss this customer. And, you know, there are some of the people. I am a people person, and I just, I'm fond of my customers, and it's a true relationship, even though it's in a box, you know, which is my shop. But so she comes in and she says, I just had to stop in. I tried to come in last week and you were closed. I just want to tell you how much I missed you, you know. Aww. And she says, you've got to help me find a dog. I miss a dog. I miss you. I miss this place. She missed my funky little shop.
That's cool.
You know? Oh, it was so cool. And then she noticed that I was wearing my new Allegria shoes, which I wear to work because I can slip them on and they give good arch support and I don't have to tie them up like running shoes. And she says, I bought a couple of pairs of those and they don't work for me. She says, what size do you wear? I told her my size. She said, that's my size. She gave me two pairs of Allegria clogs that cost like $130 each. And, you know, yesterday she comes in with a bag carrying them. It was just amazing.
I love that.
Isn't that sweet? So,
plus, you can find her a dog.
I hope I can, but I'm not really a dog finder. You know, I'm not, you know, she said she's tried to sign up with a rescue adoption people, but nothing has come of it. So we're going to keep an eye out. This is kind of goes back to last week. It does look like I'm going to end up with a little Yorkie. Callie, remember Callie came to see me while her mother was in rehab? And
so her mom was in rehab. I do remember.
The little Yorkie, and I took a picture of her and everything. Well, her mom is terminal. And she's got, I don't remember. She's got cancer of the something or other. She has weeks, not months. I don't know that she's even going to make it to the next grooming of the dog. She couldn't even come in. And I went out to the car and I kissed her on the lips. I held her face. I told her what a good client she'd been, how much we've loved working with her, and we're here for her, and we'll welcome Callie when it's time, and you know, and all of that. And her caretaker was a little bit upset with me because she wanted everything to be fun and happy. But you know what? You have to complete with these people when you have a chance.
Yes. Oh, you know, you're so lucky you got them, because I have a story.
Yeah.
Oh, if I could get through it.
Oh, honey.
We lost a mobile groomer.
Oh.
One that was an integral part of our Groomers Association. And she came to every groomers gathering we've ever had. And she and her best buddy, Joanne, they had the most unique mobile setup I have ever been around, because it was an RV. It is an RV, because Joanne will continue, I'm sure. They could do two dogs in there at one time. They had a bathroom, which is always convenient.
That's helpful.
For the mobile grooming roundups. But they worked as a team, so they could do two house dogs in one stop time's worth. Plus, they could handle difficult dogs like you and Yvonne do. And so we got a message on Facebook a few days ago that she had gone in and they found lung cancer that had gone into her brain. Now, she was just at the roundup and she looked fine. And they were both at the roundup because they always come to the roundup. So Joanne posted that, you know, Debbie, she was fighting because she had blood clots in her lungs. And then they had found cancer and that it was in her brain and that she was at the ICU. Well, she passed yesterday.
Oh.
Yeah. But we didn't get to say goodbye. So anyway, our heartfelt wishes go out to Joanne and her family and Debbie's family. And that's that. So yeah, it's just part of life. Yeah.
That's very sad. I'm sorry for your loss.
Yeah, and it's a big loss because, you know, it's a loss amongst our grooming gatherings. You know, she'll be missed. So, yeah, enough about that as I snivel on the air. Sorry, folks. Now I know I've got half of you crying. The other half of you are going, come on, buck up, Susie. So you're going to get the Yorkie, though.
Yeah, we kind of confirmed that. And I said whenever... You know, I said, if you just want to send her over for a couple of days, if you need a break, it doesn't have to be an all or nothing thing. Just make it work. So what I was saying is her caretaker just was, you know, like, oh, God, she was a little bit pissed at me because she wants to keep everything on the lighter side for her client. But I say, even though there were tears in our eyes, they were happy tears. And we were, you know, it was just a poignant, important closure moment. And
yes, and how cool that you got to do it. I mean, that's really touching.
You know, and I, you know, I'm not afraid to step into that.
Yeah. Yeah. Me either. Yeah. I've got another one of my longtime clients, probably 1998, maybe.
Yeah.
The dog is old because he was a puppy when I first started. Yeah, maybe 99 or 2000 when they came along. Anyway, yeah. She just got diagnosed with some kind of a weird cancer, and she's having the Whipple surgery, which they take just taking everything out. And she's just a tiny little woman, so I worry about that. Yeah, I'm going to call her husband tomorrow and find out how everything went, and not to be too nosy because I'm like 3 weeks away. I saw her right before surgery, so I got to hug her and tell her, you know, think positive thoughts and all that. So hopefully that'll turn out okay. But you never know. You just never know. Hug your clients that you love. Tell them how great they are.
Yeah.
The dogs too. And the cats.
And the cats.
And the cats.
Okay.
Yes.
So let's get into this, what we got. What do we got on menu?
Don't just rush ahead. Hang on a second. We have to talk about the webinar. This is where I have it scheduled.
Ah, the webinar. Yes.
Yes. So, yes. So let's talk about the webinar. So the date will be August 6th. It'll be 11 a.m. Pacific time. That's right. The topic is Beyond Suds and Scent Conditioning, the conditioning portion. Do we have an actual official title for that bad boy?
Well,
no.
No. You know what? After this broadcast, I am sitting still at this desk and creating that. I'm creating that. So it's my commitment.
Okay, so check the Facebook page for that. Anyway, yeah, so all that information will pop up on the Facebook page, but be sure to mark your calendars. And we have one other thing to mention right here and right now is we've got a substantial donation from one of our listeners, Chris.
Chris Sertzel.
Thank you, Chris. You rock. Thanks for listening, joining up, and thanks for shopping on the Amazon banner, which you guys can do by going to the website, www.thegroompod.com, clicking on that Amazon banner, and we get a portion of your sales. So it doesn't affect the price you're paying, and it is a percentage that we get. It's like pennies on the dollar, but it really makes a great difference in the way we can afford to keep all the archives up. And by the way, our archives are staying up from this point on because you guys are supporting us so well. We have the ability to do that. Woohoo!
Yay!
Cool. So thank you, Chris. Thanks for donating. Thanks also for shopping on Amazon. If you guys want to donate, you can do so at the website as well. There's a button for donations on the website, and it's just like tipping your, well, like tipping your bartender, you know, just throwing a buck or two into the tip jar. We appreciate every cent. So there you go. Okay. Quick. Let's hear from Best Shot. And then we're going to be back with our first appointment about accommodating clients. You know, groomers, your salon runs on shampoo and conditioner, and what you choose to bathe with can make or break the quality of your work, productivity, your health, and even your career. Sure, there's a ton of shampoo lines to choose from, but if you haven't tried Best Shot's innovative systems, you may be working too hard. You owe it to yourself to check out bestshotpet.com. Discover firsthand why so many groomers rely on their trusted mastery of coat care chemistry. That's bestshotpet.com. Learn more about using their three-step system and how Best Shot mindfully formulates using advanced grooming technologies, combining the very best nature and science has to offer. Whether it's their three-step system, the one-shot odor annihilator, Ultramax Pro Line, MED skin treatments, or the amazingly aromatic and fun Sentiment Spa Collection, Best Shot has something tailored just for groomers that really works. For over 25 years, Best Shot has lived up to its claim to get dirty jobs done right, so you can start making masterpieces out of nightmares in record time. What are you waiting for? Contact your favorite distributor or catalog and get some Best Shot today. I love them. Ready, groomers? Here comes our first appointment. So I had an interesting Facebook exchange with one of our listeners about a special needs dog. Well, it's not so much a special needs dog, but a dog that had a couple rotten experiences at a grooming facility over, I don't know, it's probably about 40 minutes, maybe 45 minutes from my house. It's a little bit farther than I would normally go. And this dog is not a dog that would generally want to pay a fee that it will cost me to go over to their house, because it would be $85 and it's a dachshund. But yeah, you know, who wants to pay $85 for their chihuahua or their dachshund unless something is wrong, something is horribly wrong? Well, in this case, the dog, I believe, had a broken back. Yeah. And they shaved it and the owners were so unhappy. And I think the dog's back is broken. I'll have to check that in my emails, but I'm over there often enough that I can squeeze them in at the end of a day when I'm in the neighborhood and really quickly take care of the nail trim and the sanitary and give that dog a nice bath just because they seem nice. Now that's pretty accommodating of me, wouldn't you say?
I would say so. Yeah. I think that's pretty good.
Well, because service is my middle name. It isn't my skills, although I can't talk to the doodle owners. They think I'm wonderful. I don't get it. It's because I'm cutting off all the hair. That's the ones I've got. It's the ones you cut off all the hair. I'm happy with that. That works for me. So the deal is, we don't want to become a doormat, though, do we?
I had a situation yesterday where I stood my ground. So here's the story. I had about 6 weeks ago, I had a new doodle, speaking of doodles, and the dog came in. It was a solid black doodle, kind of little bit larger than an average standard poodle, and she was extraordinarily shy, so much so that she had to be clipped down. She is past due, and the owner owned that, and she was so freaking hard to groom. It took both Yvonne and I. Yvonne had to help me manipulate her because she couldn't even tolerate the flank strap. Everything was weird for her, and she wasn't nippy or dangerous, but she was just endangering herself with this extremely resistive and "I can't do this" kind of behavior, so much so that I charged the woman $100 for the groom. So that was about $15 more than that's a substantial amount. And she rebooked. And then
Oh joy,
you know, like, and that's what I said. I felt really, had mixed feelings about whether I ever wanted to do this dog again. And a couple of weeks ago, she sent me an email and canceled. Well, I shot her back an email and said, "Hello, did something go wrong?" Or, you know, like, I don't exactly remember my words, but I was probing to see if there was a reason behind her cancellation. Was she just like leaving me, or did the dog break out after the groom, or what, you know?
Right.
And I never heard back from her. So I canceled the appointment, but I failed to cancel it in the computer. Now, this is the downside of my Store Vantage computer system. Is that I have to enter every appointment.
That is the downside.
And I have to enter every time they change or cancel. Because sure enough, I didn't act fast enough, and a reminder went out to her. So she was all erased from the book, and I was kind of relieved.
I'd probably do a happy dance.
You know. And so yesterday, which was the day she had booked, she pops in.
Oh.
She's got some guy. I mean, oh, God.
Way to ruin your day.
Yeah, you know, like, and so what happened yesterday is that we were a little jammed. And here she comes in the afternoon, and she's got some young guy with the leash on the dog, and the dog is leaping here and there. See, part of this dog's problem is it has had zero training. So the dog is just like hyper da-da-da at the end of this leash, and he's got it wrapped around his wrist, which I hate to see. And, you know, and he's kind of an in-your-face dude, and she's kind of a out-to-lunch kind of person. And, right. You know, and I said, hey, you canceled this appointment. And she said, well, I got a reminder and decided to come on in. And I said, well, I emailed you and you didn't respond. And I'm sorry if I didn't get it out of the computer, but you canceled and I can't do the dog. And she said, okay, well, let's just make an appointment for when you can. And so, I couldn't quite say, you know what? I just don't want anything to do with you or your dog. You just can't say that. I said, okay.
Well, but that just tells you that there really wasn't anything wrong with what happened last time.
Yeah, it was affirming in that way, you know. But it was a matter of, you know, like I often have a policy of that if they walk in with the dog on the wrong day, mostly I take the dog.
Yeah, I understand.
I mostly take the dog unless I really can't. And if I know they live close enough, I'll redirect them. But most of the time, a bird in the hand, you know, and I just, sure. and that's just accommodating them because I go out of my way not to shame or embarrass my customers. And I've learned in my old age that I am at fault some of the time.
Right.
Right. You know, so that was hard because I used to think that I didn't ever I never made a mistake. You know, I thought that if it was not in my book, it wasn't.
Right.
I thought that I was mostly right. But now I have a kind of a humbling. It's humbling to get older.
I pretty much figure I'm the one who's wrong most of the time. because like it happened this time yesterday, I showed up at a house where I was supposed to have canceled the appointment because we moved it 2 weeks out. So I'm going back there in 2 weeks. I ended up spending like 45 minutes there anyway. We had lunch. I gave the dog some snacks, but that was entirely my fault. You know, I could have gone and done something else, but instead I spent it with them and the dog, and they were so nice. They're so funny. I regaled them with some stories. But I think here's the big thing here, the not be a doormat thing. You need to be able to read your clients. So I kind of listed a few client types that we commonly see that might or might not require some caution when accommodating them. And the first one is the too needy client, the client that is always changing their appointment. Like you do it once, no problem. And for me as a mobile, it's not all that easy to move appointments around, but I'm happy to try. Actually, that's a lie. I completely will jump at any opportunity to cancel an appointment. I love people who cancel their appointments. I consider it a gift, a little extra free time. But it's so you've got the needy one, you've got the demanding one. Louie's mom was that way. Louie's mom was really demanding.
Yeah, privileged kind of. I'm and special.
Yep.
Because you love my dog. I'm special because you love my dog.
And or I pay you well enough. But she started out paying me well and then didn't keep up with it. So whereas I started out wanting to jump to her to accommodate her requests, as time went on, she was a 3-week dog. She became a 4-week dog. And then it was, we're out of town. You know, sorry, I forgot to change it. And then her tip disappeared. You know, as I kept raising the price, the tip got smaller and smaller till there was no tip. And then they moved. And now I don't have them anymore. And I realized after they were gone that I really kissed her butt a little bit more than I probably should have. She was demanding. And that's how she went through life. One day I showed up at the house to groom the dog and she was screaming at her house cleaners. I never got that side of her, but I saw it. And boy, whoo, yeah.
Yeah, that's yeah. So ungracious. Well, you know, I've spoken of this client before. I have a flaky client. who has, she has lung disease so much that she has to be on oxygen all the time. She has a setup in her car. She can walk the dog in and out, but she has to get right back in her car and hook up. And, you know, and her medications and everything kind of addle her brain somewhat. And she's a wealthy woman that probably hasn't had to have a lot of structure in her life anyway. And she misses her appointments. So this is a woman that when she shows up, she hands me $200 in cash. And that pretty much smooths it all over and allows me to accommodate her the next time. You know, and
her flakiness.
Yeah, yeah. And she, we don't talk about it a lot, but, you know, she just smooths it over with a handful of cash and I'm malleable, you know.
Yes, and I'm the same way, especially if there's been a relationship. Like if you've been with somebody that was 50 when you started and now they're 70 or and having medication or, you know, confusion issues or something, or he started with them when they're 70 and now they're 90 and they are really having some issues. I can be bought and I also can be, you know, can just be a compassionate person for that kind of stuff. And like I said, I do a happy dance when somebody cancels. So there is that.
Yeah. And the other way in which I'm very happy to accommodate people is that I always ask people if appointment times are going to work for them.
I love that.
We've talked about my "does this work for you" phrase that is just the mightiest powerful tool that you have in your customer relations toolbox. Does this work for you? So I just always, I'm happy if the people need to leave the dog for 5 hours, we can handle that. I had a Irish Terrier hand strip in, and the mother, she's a doctor. She pays well. She's regular. But she needs to leave Ruby with me from like 8:30 until 3:34 when she gets off of work. And that's fine. We accommodate those. And likewise, if either the dog, you know, like we have a poodle that I groomed yesterday and he's getting old. And now he's been a dog that could stay indefinitely, be happy in a crate and stay indefinitely. And they kind of got in the habit of dropping him off in the morning and picking him up mid-afternoon. But now the dog, as soon as he's done, starts to get anxious. And so I've had to accommodate the dog and interpret that to the person. So it can work either way. You can either accommodate the person or accommodate the dog. And hopefully those two things will go together.
Yes. And in accommodating the dog and the people, oftentimes you're dealing with people or pets, just like this weekend I dealt with one, PTSD'd from grooming experiences, from imagined slights, from imagined grooming issues, or from actual grooming issues. Sometimes it's the dog, sometimes it's the person. But those people, it can turn out to be rewarding to help those people out sometimes. You know, it just depends on what kind of flexibility you have in your own shop. And, you know, we say a lot of negative stuff, but there are some really sweet rewards for accommodating nice folks. You know, sometimes it just makes you feel really good when you can help somebody out or change plans and make it work. Or in my case, swing a different schedule or go to a different location or, you know, come in and out without them being there. Anything. It's just, it's good customer service. And I think that it's really thoughtful. And in the case of the pet, it can make it a much better experience for them.
Yeah. Another thing that we do is what Yvonne does. So Yvonne, she's such a good person. She will help my older clients out, in and out with their dogs.
Oh, that's nice.
You know, it's really nice. So we have some of them, we say, just drive up and we'll see you. Or if we don't see you, honk the horn and Yvonne will come out and help you in. And Yvonne's almost always at the counter with me, bringing the dog out. And she'll say, can I help you out with this? And
That's awesome.
Isn't that awesome? You know, I just really like them. She, at least she will walk them to the door and help them handle the door, which is kind of heavy, and while they get their dogs out. And very often she goes all the way to the car and helps them get the dog in the car. And, you know, I think that's just really an extra service. That's why I love that we're not grooming too many dogs anymore. You know, it's just, I'm so glad I've cut back because I can offer just such a personalized service, you know, that I couldn't do when I was like watching the clock and every minute was slipping away. And
yeah, it's good. It's good. I think accommodating is part of service industry. I think it's
right.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay. I had something else I wanted to say, but I can't remember what it is. Oh, but I do want to say something right now because Barbara had something she wanted to mention that we pulled off of Facebook this morning, and that is to talk about applying essential oils neat. So let's hit that right now, Barbara.
Okay, so let's do a little quick definition that neat, N-E-A-T, means full strength.
So right, straight on.
Straight on, fully concentrated form, like you would apply some medicated shampoos neat, whereas you not diluted like we do our other shampoos. So occasionally people will get advice from somebody connected with aromatherapy that it's okay to put aromatherapy essential oils neat on an animal or on yourself. And the truth is, you should probably never, ever, ever apply essential oils neat to an animal. We need to respect the potency of essential oils. An essential oil is not an extract. It is the essence of the plant times 100.
Right, so exponentially stronger.
Exponentially stronger. And, I had a bird, and he had a foot issue. Poor guy, he had foot issues. That's really bad for birds.
It sure is.
And I put neat tea tree oil on his foot.
Oh, and that's bad too.
Oh, God. That was a horrible experience. The bird just went ballistic, screaming and owie and oh, shit. I had to handle him and get that off, you know, like rinse it off, wash it off. I don't even remember what I did, but I had to remove that. It was like he was just screaming, get this off of me. You know, not this, no.
So even something like lavender oil, which the question was about.
Okay, so here, lavender oil, if you have an insect bite, you can put lavender oil neat on the little bite. But the question was to rub lavender oil. Can I put lavender oil on and rub it on the belly of an itching dog? No. That for animals, you should dilute. Delete that.
Will do.
For any animal application, you want to dilute in a carrier oil, and that's any vegetable oil. It can be even vegetable oil from your kitchen cabinet. Vegetable oil, olive oil. Jojoba oil is a good one, almond oil, on and on and on, an oil. You want to dilute it 1% to 2% at the max.
Oh, that's just a little bit.
That's just a tiny bit. That's just a couple of drops in a tablespoon. Well, it's one drop in a tablespoon. So, you know, and some oil people, I'm not going to name names. I just don't want to.
Okay.
They will claim that their oil is so therapeutically pure that it can be applied neat to the animal. No.
Don't do it.
Please don't do it. That is incorrect. You would just don't go there.
Now, what does it do? It could cause a rash, for one thing, right?
Well, yeah, it can cause an irritation. It can...
Gets absorbed, maybe, right?
It can kill.
Yeah, I think you're...
You know, it can kill, especially if it's got a high delaminine in it. It can be very... it can just cause a lot of issues, and it can be terminal. And there have been animals that have died from just a few drops of tea tree oil neat. There have been cats especially. But right. Let's just know.
Err on the side of caution.
On the side of caution. There is no oil that is so different and so therapeutically pure that you can break all the rules with it. There just isn't. And the notion that some oils are more pure and can be applied directly, the whole rest of the aromatherapy world is freaking out about these. And if you look at any aromatherapy organization, they will have recommendations to never apply essential oils neat to an animal. Okay?
Or really ourselves, right?
Or really ourselves, yeah.
Okay, good. That was important. Okay, let's take a break, and then we'll be back with our definition du jour. Definition du jour time, vegan shampoo and conditioners. Is that okay. Even a thing?
Well, it's a thing if veganism is your commitment.
It's more than the way you eat. It's your lifestyle.
It's your lifestyle. It's your life commitment to not utilize products from animals.
Okay.
In any way, shape, or form. You would a vegan would never have a leather purse.
Right. Even though we've already eaten that cow.
Oh yeah, even though you know, like they don't go. There's a notion that if you use every single piece of an animal, it's you know, like okay, so that's all right if you're a native in a native land, and you've got to do that. But if you're a vegan, your value system dictates that you don't want to use anything that is animal derived.
Okay,
and it can go and. And it's up to you how far you want to go with that. So, you know, I never thought to go beyond foods. But I hung out with a couple of vegan ladies for a while and learned that it can go really far. And once I started looking at this morning, it looked like a rabbit hole. I kind of dug my way out real quick. But there are some ingredients, there are actually many ingredients in cosmetics, which include pet shampoos and conditioners, that formerly were derived from animal byproducts that are no longer produced that way, that they have found vegetable counterparts. You know, like cetyl alcohol, which is used in many, 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 many conditioners, originally came from whale spermaceti or whatever it's called.
I remember the whale sperm episode.
So cetyl alcohol is no longer produced from whale sperm. Thank God. I got it in my mind again. I can't.
Well, shit.
Oh God.
We're off now.
So now it is derived from vegan sources. So there is a list, and I'll give it to you at the end of the program. The PETA has a list of non-vegan ingredients. man, it's a huge list, and you have to take it with a grain of salt, because almost everywhere when they say there are vegetable alternatives, those vegan-derived alternatives have taken precedent. There's been, you know, the green movement, the natural movement, has really resulted in a lot of changes in the cosmetic industry, and that animal-derived products are not nearly as common. Another one is glycerin. Glycerin is a byproduct of soap making. Okay, so when you have a saponification happens, and I've talked about that, actually, when you have harsh lye meets animal fat or any fat, it has a reaction. It turns into soap plus glycerin. So in the beginning, there were a lot of animal fat-based, the tallow. Tallow was used as a base source, feed source, for a lot of products, including most bar soaps that you got from the supermarket. Really? Nowadays, yeah, really. And so PETA can't just say tallow. They have to always add that tallow can include euthanized dogs and cats. Well,
of course they throw that in there.
Of course they throw that in there. That's just for puke effect. Puke effect,
right?
You know, so that you'll just puke and never use that ingredient. Well, those tallow is not nearly as frequently used as a cosmetic base, a derivative, something to derive from, as it used to be. Now these ingredients like glycerin, you can get vegetable glycerin. Most manufacturers are not using tallow-based glycerin, but it's something to know. And if you want to harass a sales rep,
one of Barbara's favorite sports.
Say, is this vegetable glycerin or is this from animal byproducts?
You know? Oh, that'll make them spin.
So the other thing that's, let's see, let me find my notes because there's a couple. You know, beeswax, which is found a lot in cosmetics, that's a animal-derived product.
So beeswax is a no-no?
Oh, it comes from the exploitation of bees.
Oh, those bees, man. Who's out there cracking that whip on those bees to make that beeswax? Like, I kind of feel like they do that on their own, right? Nobody's out there forcing them to make beeswax. Okay, whatever.
Well, whatever.
Yep.
Technically, it's beeswax and honey is an animal product.
Well, we're at ground zero of the granola movement here in the Northwest. Yeah.
So, you know, technically milk is a non-vegan product.
Right.
So you have to look at, you know, like lactic acid, it comes from milk. And so that would be a no-no for a cosmetic product. You know, I'll tell you what my main conclusion is on this vegan shampoo thing is that this is yet another reason why we need full disclosure of ingredients.
True.
So what has happened in the whole world of cosmetics is you find these lists of products that are safe, but you just can't list them all. I will say, however, that most basic clarifying type shampoos are synthetically produced and not from animal byproducts. And there are some obvious things that you look out for. Keratin protein comes from animal byproducts. Collagen comes from animal byproducts, although there is now a plant version of collagen, which is faux collagen, F-A-U-X, not real, imitation.
Faux collagen.
Thank
yeah.
you. Faux collagen, pretend collagen. There are ingredients that come from marine life. How about silk protein.
Yeah, how about silk protein?
Okay, my understanding that silk protein is made from...
the butts of a worm.
The cocoon.
Oh, the cocoon. Well, still.
So no worms. No, so no worms die. I don't know what they did with the worms.
Right, but no bees died when they made the honeycomb either.
And no cows die when you make milk.
Right. So,
but it's an exploitation.
Okay.
I know it sounds silly. You're not a vegan. And I'm not either. But, you know, like, I honor my vegan brothers and sisters.
I have a lot of vegan friends.
And, you know, like, so I'm just trying to give my vegan groomer friends something to go by.
This is for you, Lynn. This is straight up for you.
Now, I'm going to kind of try to find my notes here. Yeah, so here's something that we need to keep in mind. Natural sources, quote unquote, natural sources can be either plant or animal. Panthenol, I discovered, can come from animal or plant sources or synthetics. Now, chances are the most cost-effective way to create panthenol would be from synthetic processing.
Sure, that makes sense.
So I don't think you need to run away from panthenol. Here's the, I'm going to mention this now, and then we'll come back at the end of the program. The PETA list of non-vegan ingredients, www.peta.org/living/other/animal-ingredients-list.
Phew. All right, with a grain of salt.
With a grain of salt, and I'll post that list on the Groom Pod discussion group, and we can continue to have discussion about particular ingredients. You can ask me if you can't Google that. I can.
Well, we can Google it, but we may not understand what we're reading, but you
yeah,
do.
But I, yeah, thank you. That's the difference. Okay, and so one more thing I want to say. To me, although I understand veganism, I have a bigger problem with palm oil, how they burn down rainforest and kill orangutans and other species brutally to create plantations for the sucking demand for palm oil just because it's freaking vegan, than I do about using all the parts of a cow and or milk protein and or beeswax. You know, I am much more of a value. I mean, something that makes me want to cry is when I see those orangutans holding their burned baby.
That's horrible. It's just horrible.
You know, like...
Yeah, and I'm all for you not eating whatever you don't want to eat because I am the pickiest eater out there. You will not find anyone who is a pickier eater than I am. So more power to you. But I just don't generally apply that to my products, my shampoo products and stuff like that. You can, and I know you do, Lynn, and that's why we're, you know, this is such a great topic for you is because this will give you a little insight there. But for me, I'm kind of with you, Barbara. People are going to eat that cow anyway, so you might as well have those shoes. But, you know, that's me. I'm kind of practical that way.
Okay.
Okay, moving on. Speaking of moving, let's have a mobile moment.
Look out, here it comes. It's your mobile moment.
All right.
Okay. So there's a lot of discussion recently about shore power cords. And I myself, I have a generator. My generator sits in the back of my tow vehicle. And 85% of the time, I plug into the house. And there's a controversy that goes along with plugging into the house is, you know, because you have to go up and ask the owner if it's okay to plug into the house. And in that way, some people question the professionalism of doing so. What do you think about that?
Oh, wow. I don't think that's unprofessional. When I worked for Galloping Groomer all 6 months of my...
illustrious mobile career.
My illustrious mobile career. that was our only option. That was before we had the generator option, you know, and we were certainly professional. And the big problem, it wasn't so much not getting permission, but it was that you could overload the home electrical system if they sent you to a wimpy outlet.
It does take a little bit of basic hunting and a knowledge about the circuit breaker panel and what to look for, which I'm going to talk about here in a little bit, actually. So I don't think it's unprofessional to go up and use the shore power cord, because you wouldn't expect the person who's vacuuming your house to bring a battery powered vacuum. Right?
No, right.
So there's nothing wrong with using the power. Get over that, people. Get over the fact that you have to use the power. Believe me, half of the people want to know if I need their water too. And luckily I don't. But if I did, they would give it to me because they're just happy to have the service at their house. So the deal is the K9 2 dryers that most of us use as our workhorse dryer pull 17 amps all by themselves. And if you can do basic math, most regular indoor and most outdoor outlets are 15 amps. Therefore, if you plug in your K9 2 dryer and flip on both motors, you're going to blow that circuit. Not a big deal these days. You just have to go and flip the switch. You know, it's not a big deal. But it makes people hesitant to try the shore power cord. I myself, if I'm in somebody's neighborhood, like the place I was yesterday, right by Lake Sammamish, it's a very quiet neighborhood. They don't even hardly have lawns. So nobody's even out mowing their lawn or anything. And here I come along and their power isn't good. So I end up using the generator and I just wrecked the whole Sunday morning atmosphere or Saturday morning atmosphere in their neighborhood. So if I have the option to use the plug-in, I'm going to do it. Besides, why should I pay for gas when I can use their electricity? Common sense, right? So you've got your 17 amp dryer and your 15 amp outlet, and obviously that's a no-go. So what you've got to do is you've got to learn where to look in a house to find the outlet. And the deal is microwaves, hair dryers, washer dryers, and refrigerators all need to have 20 amps. Now, in really old houses, you may have a really old refrigerator that is not drawing more than 15 amps, or it may have a wired-in dedicated circuit for just the refrigerator or just the stove. But if you've got a microwave running in the house, and if you've got a hair dryers that are being used in bathrooms, and you've got a washer dryer that's in a laundry room, there's three pretty solid outlets in those rooms that are going to be 20 amps.
So, and most garages.
Now, the hitch with the garage is if you see a refrigerator in there, if that refrigerator is on that same 20 amp circuit and you flip your 17 amp dryer on, all is well until that refrigerator cycles on and then you blow the circuit. So that's the only other hitch. You've got to look for little things like that. Another one is the central vacuum. The central vacuum usually has a 20 amp circuit. But if you go up there and you plug into it and then little Bobby's chore is to do the vacuuming and he plugs that vacuum in, you're going to pop the circuit as well. So it's good to inform your client, especially if you're in the laundry room. And a lot of laundry rooms are right by garages, so they're really easy to get to. If you try the garage or sometimes even outside outlets where people plug in RVs and Christmas lights and heavy duty Christmas houses always have nice 20 amp outlets. And sometimes they even have nice wiring to tell you which 20 amp outlets that there are. But you can also pop open the circuit breaker. And in houses built in like the 21st century, most of the circuit breakers are labeled pretty well. You can go in there, look at that circuit breaker and find 20 amp outlets. They say 20 right on them and trace back to where those outlets are. They'll be labeled laundry room, garage, outside or something like that. You can find your 20 amp outlet that way. Don't be afraid to get the homeowner involved in the hunt. They enjoy that. You know, they want to help you groom their dog in the easiest manner, and they don't want to listen to a generator either. Now, some of the wagon tails vans and some of the Hanvey vans today, the Hanvey vans have inverters, so they don't make any noise. Sometimes you have to leave your van running. Mostly they're quiet. Wagon tails vans, their generators are underneath. So some of those are a little bit quieter. Every time you have to use your generator, you're paying for fuel. You're putting wear and tear on the generator. Just pull that shore power cord out. Go into the laundry room. Go into the kitchen. Go into the bathroom. Go into the garage. Check the outside outlet. Find yourself a nice 20-amp outlet and enjoy life. But I will say this. You cannot run an air conditioner and a K9 2 from house current. It's just not possible. So if you can do that with your generator, because some of those generators are pretty doggone beefy and it's hot out, I totally understand. But here in the Northwest, where it's not so hot, plug in, open your windows, enjoy the day. That's what I have to say about that.
Okay, I have something to add.
Cool.
And that has to do with an option to the K9 2 dryer.
But of course.
But of course. So I really want to speak up for the X Power line of dryers. They have all kinds. And if you're at Super Zoo in the next couple of weeks, stop by and check them out, because they have rather powerful, good force dryers that are 12 amps. And then that gives you a little edge. You know, you might just lose a little bit of force, but you might have, there's some that have heat. You know, you want to, I just would advise us to keep an eye out for the X Power. I have an X Power B25 or B27. We love that dryer. We don't even use the old K9 anymore, you know, because it just, it gets warm. And it just doesn't cause issues like now in the summertime when we're running a lot of fans and we're just drying, you know, like that's another thing about an electrical system, like in a home or in a salon. It's a system. It's all kind of interrelated. And, it doesn't make much sense, but electricity is kind of holistic in a way, that the overall pull and draw and demand that your various little things are drawing on the system can affect even your good, strong one outlet pull. You know,
absolutely.
Like it's all holistic. It all adds up. It all affects each other. It's not just single line, single line, single line. I just kind of learned that the hard way in my shop.
So I have an example of that, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Because I like to plug in my little aromatherapy ball that probably doesn't take very much, but it takes a little bit of energy. Plus, I have sometimes got some speakers running in the background, and I've got my lights on, and I've got my K9 2 dryer on. It doesn't shut something off, but it doesn't get as much power to the K9 2 if I've got too much crap running in the background. Now, eventually, it will shut it off, but it's all a drain. It all drains from the total. So, yeah, definitely new dryers have new options. There are options out there around the 15 to 12 amp range that you can use. But you can make it work. Another thing that I've had to do is currently my generator, I've worn out the circuit breaker on my generator. So it will pop when it gets warm. So if I'm running my K9 2, about 5 minutes into the drying cycle, my circuit breaker will pop. And so what I'm having to do is just before the 5 minute mark, I get a gut feeling. I just get like an instinct and I shut down one of the motors, and in the summertime, no big deal, because then I just finish it off with a warm single motor dry. So you can do that. You can alternate back and forth with house current. You won't necessarily pop it. There's ways around it, but I totally enjoy my shore power cord. I carry 100 feet of cord. And then in the back of my truck, I carry another 50 footer just in case something goes wrong with the 100 footer. Like one time I pulled away without it bungeed up tight enough and it came off the hose reel and I dragged it behind the truck. So I got to the next stop and I just had a cord with no end on it.
Oh, shit.
Yep. Luckily, I had an extra cord in the back of the truck. Always be prepared. I am the Costco of grooming.
Okay. Well, I just did want to tell you how happy we are with our X Power dryer. And I would buy that again in a flash. And I support them. Take a look if you're having trouble popping circuits with that K9 2. Okay?
Okay. If you're enjoying the Groom Pod and all the good things that happen here, and you want to help us continue to grow, consider doing your shopping at Amazon through our Amazon banner on the website. It won't cost you anything more, and the Groom Pod will get a percentage of your sale. This is by far the best way to help us pay for the show. Just go to our website, www.thegroompod.com, scroll to the bottom, and click on the Amazon ad. Then do your shopping as usual. We really appreciate each and every one of you guys who's been shopping at the Groom Pod's website. Thank you very much. Let's see what's happening at the grooming table. Let's do a quick at the table segment right now, Barbara, about hair splinters, because they are a plague that I know nothing about because I've always groomed with a clipper back. So tell me about your experiences with hair splinters.
I haven't actually had any hair splinters because it's an individual thing. Some people's skin is not as effective a barrier as others.
And, really? Wow. Yeah, I didn't know.
Yeah. You know, there's everything, every quality that we have as a human being is on a normal curve from high to low or absent. You know, like look at my poor assistant Yvonne. She's not even 60, and she bruises and tears her skin, and this is like a 90-year-old.
I know about that.
So
okay.
Some people just have a thinner barrier, and the most likely place to get a hair splinter is in between your fingers. One way to avoid that, of course, is with a clipper back. But you can also powder your hands.
Like with baby powder?
Like with baby powder or whatever you got to run in. I mean, and then we get into the whole issue about talcum. But
we're not talking about lady parts here.
Yeah, we're not talking about lady bird. So, you know, like, and where I would sometimes also powder is on the inside of my elbows, because that's another entry point for hair to stick. And
I have had them there.
Yeah, I think I've had small problems, but I've never had people. We've seen on Facebook some groomers that have had infected hair splinters deep inside their digits on their hands, and it's terrible.
It looks awful.
Yeah, so I would say that if you have a tendency for your skin to allow hairs to enter, that you definitely want to take some precautions and either use a barrier cream that's heavy silicone cream.
How about gloves in a bottle? That stuff that I use for my hands in the winter.
Yeah, gloves in a bottle is a barrier cream. That's going to help. And powder, wearing gloves.
Do you think it matters what kind of hair it is or how you cut it? Like, this is maybe my imagination, but it seems to me like cocker hair seems to be sharper.
Yeah, cocker hair we hear more about. But I would think that, where did I get that squeaky voice? I would think terrier hair would be just as bad, but maybe because it gets so soft once we start clipping it, it's not an issue. Yeah, cocker hair we hear about the most. And I think that's because a lot of cockers are clipped with a 10 blade. See, I think it's the blade size makes a difference.
And I also think clippered versus scissored, you don't get scissored hair splinters for some reason.
No. No, it has to be. It's little pieces. It's little pieces that go in there. And it's mostly from clippering.
So have you ever tried the duct tape method of removal?
No, but I think probably shipping tape would be the same.
Yes, I think that would work pretty well as long as it's not buried yet.
Yeah, and you know what I do? I just don't like the feeling of hair on my skin. So what I do is I rinse my arms off, especially these days where I'm working in a high humidity environment because we have a swamp cooler and we're adding humidity by bathing. And so it's kind of torturous in there right now. And I just a couple of times during the day, I'll just go in and rinse my inner elbows with cold water, and that helps remove the hair. And it's when it kind of sticks around that you're more likely to get a hair splinter.
And I've heard horrible horror stories from female groomers about hair splinters in the girls.
In my girls?
Yeah, you ever had hair splinters down in the girls?
No, I've had hair, though, and my girls don't like hair.
I get nails down there occasionally, which is, you know, I ought to get a prize because there isn't that much space to get a toenail in. Somehow they manage to get in there somehow.
I don't. I guess maybe it's the garb that we wear.
And I wondered that, too.
Yeah, I wear cotton scrubs most of the time.
I'm in nylon. Nylon.
Yeah, see, I can't do nylon. It when it's hot, nylon feels icky to me. Just, ugh. It sticks to me. It's clingy, and I don't like it. So I wear cotton, and it absorbs. And I wear cotton bras and sometimes with a little patty in there, which protects my girls from hair.
Nah, I've got a Lycra sports bra. I don't know that that hampers me or helps me. And furthermore, I'm wearing a nylon tank top and very short nylon shorts. So it's mostly me and skin, pretty much standing in my skin. But I'm sure that the Clipper Vac is the reason I don't get them. And I think finishing the Cockers or Westy backs, I think that's why I get them occasionally in my elbows. But interesting thought about the softer skin. It never occurred to me that that's why they end up in my elbows and nowhere else, because I'm pretty tough, leathery everywhere else, but the elbows are pretty soft. So, yeah, it's fascinating.
Yeah, I think, I mean, there again, it's a lot of individual difference. And if you're prone to getting skin splinters, hair splinters in your skin, it's a curse.
Yeah, I think I'd take the hair splinters over the splitting fingers. Well, maybe. I don't know. It's a toss-up, depending on where those hair splinters end up.
Yeah, well, you know, but it's important to not let hair splinters get infected. If you think you've got one, soak your hands in Epsom salts, for heaven's sakes, that night.
You know, get the magnifying glass out and the tweezers.
Right. Yeah, look at it. Remove those things, because kind of just going to bed on it is what ends up feeding an infection.
And I think that unlike wood, more like metal, I think hair goes in. It doesn't come out.
Yeah.
It just seems to work its way in or stay stationary, like more like a wood sliver, or not like a wood sliver, which works its way kind of out, gets pushed out by the infection. I think the infection kind of encapsulates the hair and draws it in a little bit farther, and it just ends up a big pussy isn't a word, by the way. It's a big, gross, oozing mess. So my sympathies go out to you guys who have hair splinter issues. That must be awful. All right, Barbara, we've hit an hour and 10 minutes.
Well, let's get out of here then.
I got to drive to North Bend and groom a dog up in the mountains. So I always look forward to that.
I'm going to get the conditioner webinar up this afternoon. So here we go.
And then the PETA list also. Get that PETA list up on the group, discussion group.
I will.
And those of you guys who are going to those of you going to Super Zoo, when you get there, make sure you let the people at Best Shot and the people anywhere that have the South Park Blueberry Facial, how much we appreciate them supporting the Groom Pod. And gee whiz, we really here appreciate you guys supporting the Groom Pod. So thanks for listening every week. Happy grooming, folks. Bye, Barbara.
Happy grooming. Bye, Susie.
Bye, groomers.
Well, stylists, it's time to sweep up the hair, clean out the tub, and turn out the lights on another episode of the Groom Pod. Remember to join the discussion group and be part of the show by liking us on Facebook at The Groom Pod. You can find Barbara online at groomblog.blogspot.com and at her shopping site, www.shop.bbird.biz. You can email me at Susie@thegroompod.com or Barbara@thegroompod.com. Please tell all your friends about the show and leave comments and reviews anywhere that you can. And also, please support the sponsors of the show. They make it possible for us to continue on. So on behalf of Barbara Bird and myself, thanks for listening and see you real soon.